Can you actually get a court or a legislature to go like, yeah, we're not going to certify an election because that happened? I don't know. That's another, that's an open-ended question. Article 1, Section 4, that's foolproof. That's a home run ball over the center field wall. Ball's bouncing out in the parking lot and is headed towards the Hudson River at Yankee Stadium. Pretty simple. Then there is this. I usually don't play digital media files the first hour of the program, but since people think that the Dominion voting software scandal is one of the ways for Trump to get out of this and to maintain the presidency, this is a report. I just saw this as we were getting ready to go on air from One American News's Chanel Rion. And there's some stuff in this I had not previously heard. So
Chanel Rion spoke with founder of FEC United, Joe Altman, who also made a discovery about a key member of the Dominion leadership.
Okay, so you want to follow the Dominion story, listen to this.
You infiltrated an Antifa conference call this past September and accidentally came upon a top Dominion voting systems executive named Eric Coomer. Describe that call and what it led you to find.
It was interesting how the call started. Somebody says, who's Eric? He says, Eric's Dominion guy. Someone actually said, you know, hey, go ahead. I told him to continue speaking. And someone interrupts and says, what are we going to do if effing Trump wins? And Eric responds, and I'm paraphrasing this, by the way, don't worry about the election. Trump is not going to win. I made effing sure of that. And then they started laughing, and somebody says, effing right. At that point, I thought to myself, you know, this guy's crazy. These people are crazy because they think that they are, you know, Jedi warriors and they can just will themselves to Trump not winning.
Fast forward to just after the election, Altman sees an article concerning Georgia's last-minute Dominion voting software updates. The article cites Eric speaking on behalf of Dominion. Altman remembers his September call and begins to dig deeper.
But I did do research on Eric, and so I just put it a simple Google search to start, which was Eric Dominion, Denver, Colorado. And Eric Coomer came up immediately under Dominion voting systems. So anytime that there was a press release, Eric Coomer was the one giving that press release. Anytime that they were pitching the product to different municipalities, he was the one pitching the product. And I'm talking about Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, you name it, his name pops up everywhere.
The real shocker came when Altman found Coomer's Facebook posts.
And when I got access to his Facebook, you get that sinking feeling, like what, this is crazy. Here's a director of security.
It is nuts.
Excuse me, of strategy and security at Dominion. And when I got into his Facebook page, that's when things really started to kind of come together for me that, you know, that Eric Coomer was this, you know, that he was not just Antifa. He was responsible for putting his finger on the scales of our election.
Posts including the Antifa manifesto, vitriolic posts against all Trump voters, song links like Dead Prez and F the Police and F the USA. Altman says Coomer had the title and the power to exercise his vitriol through Dominion. If Coomer is investigated and found to have indeed tampered with a presidential election, such an action could be tried for treason. Unfortunately, the question is, will the FBI step up to investigate?
Now.
For more on this interview and others, tune in for OAN's upcoming investigation on Dominion.
Okay, all right. So this obviously is, this is where Sidney Powell, the famed attorney, is going with her, with the things that she's been saying. I've got the evidence. I can prove this. I can prove that. Somebody in our chat room, which I forgot to mention that you should join. If you're watching on the YouTube, give us a thumbs up on today's video. Share the video with everybody you knew, including all of your enemies. And then for extra credit, you should join the crusade at crusadechannel.com/go. And then when you do that, and you can even take 30 days for free if you need more convincing that you should be part of this media enterprise. Then once you do that, then you can log into the Crusade Channel website. And that'll give you access to the Crusader Stadium at crusadechannel.com/chat. Okay, so back to cases here. And Today's Tuesday. Somebody points out in the Crusader Stadium, where it's supposed to be some big bombshell announcement from the Trump campaign lawyers. It was supposed to be dropped yesterday. Last night, some woman who's friends with a blue check mark that's friends with Sidney Powell, tweeted out that they're going into secret meeting all the Trump lawyers at the White House. It's about to happen. And then you get crickets for the rest of the night. Nothing. So, sitting here day by day waiting. Now, there is some good to that. Each state has a deadline for when they are going to demand of their Secretary of State, tell us who won the presidential race so we can nominate and then certify electors and then send them to Mordor and tell them what to do. Each state has a date. If you go all the way up to and then past the date that the legislature is set by law, then what more than likely is going to happen, now, I because this hasn't happened very many times, we don't have a lot of history to go on, so we only have the actual text of the Constitution, 12th Amendment, and the amendments that have been made pursuant to presidential elections to go on. And then Article 2, Section 1, and Section 2. But that's a lot. So how should this shake out then? Well, let's just say, for example, on the 20th, what's today? Today's the 17th, right? So hunk a letter, 17, 18, 19. So on Friday, they're supposed to finish the hand recount and audit of the Georgia election. Now, L. Linwood already has one lawsuit saying that you got to stop and start all over again because the consent decree that was signed between the Democrats and the Republicans to settle a lawsuit back in March of this year is no good because it changed the because it abrogated what the legislature had said about how elections are supposed to take the rules for absentee ballots and mail-in ballots and what have you. And then the Secretary of State and the governor did not have the authority to settle the lawsuit, that only the legislature could settle the lawsuit. Now that's a legal question. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I only play one here on the radio and on television. But I can tell you this. If the Georgia legislature maintains that they write the law and that they call the shots, well, then that's what the judge ought to say. It doesn't matter that the governor and the Secretary of State made a deal with Stacey Abrams and the Democrat Party. That's immaterial. They're free to make the deal, but the deal does not carry the force of law if the legislature has passed law that says otherwise. Now, if it comes down to that question, that's another one that could go all the way to the SCOTUS. Here we are Tuesday now. Yesterday, I only saw one guy tweeted something out about this. That was William Briggs, saying that another day has passed, and there sits the Pennsylvania lawsuit, and the Supremes have not picked it up. Why? That's a phenomenal question. The rumor is, no one knows, unless you personally know John Roberts, you don't know, Chief Justice John Roberts, you don't know. Rumor is that Roberts doesn't want to take the case because he hates Trump. And he's a deep stater that's compromised, and so he's got Kavanaugh or Gorsuch or Barrett, only needs one of them, buffaloed and telling them, you don't want to be a part of this history. If we pick this case up, this won't settle the election. There'll be controversy. You have a duty to pick it up. You have an absolute duty to pick it up, especially when you're going to have pretty much the same thing is going to happen in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, quite possibly in Arizona. So this isn't a question of whether or not you think you ought to take the case or not. It's a question of whether or not you're going to have Article 1, Section 4 elections going forward. And if you're not going to have the legislatures involved, and folks, this is what the corona hoax has done. Now, do you see how all these things are tied together? The legislatures in the states have tried to stop the governors. In my state of Louisiana, finally, after 151 days, they finally intervened and stopped Emperor Bell Bonaparte IV. What did he do? He went to the court. What did the court do? Sided with the governor. What happened in Pennsylvania? The legislature on three occasions told Wolf to stand down. No more mandates, no more lockdowns, no more masks, none of this crap. No more shutting down the businesses and industries. What happened on three occasions? The Pennsylvania Supreme Court told the legislature to go pound sand. This is dangerous banana republic crap we're playing with here. This then means that the whole we the people is not we the people, it's they the oligarchs. How does this turn out? I do not know. I do know this. If this continues, folks, whatever you think or whatever concept that you have of freedom and liberty and all those things that people love to say, sing about on the 4th of July and what have you, it's all gone. It's an illusion. So some of us think it's kind of important and that the Supreme Court actually has a duty to settle this nonsense. And I think once and for all, Bush versus Gore supposedly should have settled most of it. As a matter of fact, as to the question on whether or not election laws can be made up on the fly after the fact and then implemented as a recount is going on, that we know the answer to that, and the answer is no, they can't. Yet they're doing it. People are asking in the Crusader Stadium chat room, so can the electors in Georgia or Pennsylvania, can they just not certify the vote? Well, yeah, the lawsuits are still dragging on, absolutely. And then the legislature can then just say, we're sending our electors to Mordor to meet, and we're telling them to vote for Trump because we know there was a fraud, we know the election was stolen, and we know what the election night count was, and we're going to certify that. Can they do that? Absolutely. Is there anything a court can do? Well, previous to this year, I say no. Now, today, who knows? This is the pickle these bastards have left us in. That's why I say in today's theme graphic for the show, recounts won't win this thing for Trump and the truth without the constitutional checkmate. It's pretty simple. Read the 12th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. What does it say? It tells you how to get out of this pickle. Is anyone going to use it? Now, Trump has a couple of lawyers. He's got Seculo. He's got Cipollelli, the lead lawyers from the sham impeachment case. He does have a couple of guys. I think Pam Bondi might know this as well. Sidney Powell ought to know it. But he's got a couple of lawyers in there that are constitutional legals, and they should know everything that I know. They should know more than I know. He's also got Alan Dershowitz. What does Dershowitz say? Well, here we go. This is from the premium version of the Epoch Times. This is from Sunday's edition, and then I'll give you today's. Dershowitz. Trump may seek to deny Biden 270 electoral votes, put the election in Congress. Again, Article 1, Section 4, Article 1, Section 2, I'm sorry, Article 2, Section 1 and 2, and the 12th Amendment. That's when that's how this comes into play. President Trump, in an interview with Newsmax, Dershowitz said Trump no longer is attempting to reach 270 electoral votes, but will instead focus on denying Democrat nominee Biden's chance of getting 270 votes. Shrewd strategy. Dershowitz, quote, look at the big picture. The big picture now has shifted, I do not believe that Trump is trying to get 270 electoral votes. I think he thinks that's out of the question. What he's trying to do is deny Joe Biden 270 electoral votes by challenging in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada, and Michigan, and Arizona, Dershowitz said, adding that not allowing Biden to reach 270 of 538 would actually force House state delegations to vote, where Republicans have an advantage over Democrats. Currently, the GOP has a 26-23 state delegation majority in the House of Representatives. And if you can keep the Biden count below 270, then the matter goes to the House of Representatives, where, of course, there is a Republican majority among the delegations of states. And you vote by state if it goes to the House. He's trying to follow the playbook of three elections in the 19th century. Well, there you go. And that's Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, and 1876. Is that Will Hayes? I don't have it here in front of me. I believe those are the three elections he's referring to. It has happened before, by the by. When my movie, The Road, The Spirit of 76, when the founders were debating on how to elect a president, they never said one man, one vote crap. Why do you think you had to have the 19th Amendment, the suffrage amendment? Why was it such a big deal and the Dred Scott decision where three-fifths of a person was debated? This is all about voting apportionment. So prior to ballot boxes and all this, how was a president elected? By the electors, okay. Who appointed them? The legislatures.